Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
How's everybody doing? Sorry about that, but I'm just going to like update this. Why is this like this, Jay? The stage isn't crooked. Okay? I don't know what, but can you just grab a book or something? Look at this. This is I can't record under these conditions.
That's the table. That's not like tape.
Yeah, no, there's
nothing. Oh, see, yeah. We just figured it out. When y'all moved it, the little thingy. There's like a little lip. There's like a little screw that you like use to kind of like level it out.
Oh.
And it's gone. So just put a book under there. Look, there's tons
of
books.
Wallet.
Let me see. Better.
Wow.
Thank you. Don't forget your wallet is there. Well, thank you for tuning in, everybody. This is the podcast, and it's Adalys Shuttlesworth. Mags is right here. In my heart. She's not here, just as of right now. How's everybody doing? Everybody on Facebook? Everybody on YouTube? How's everybody doing? We are talking today about the role of the mother and father because I was just reading, as I had mentioned previously, a tweet from my father-in-law. Which, if you don't follow my father-in-law on Twitter, if you even use Twitter, I suggest you do that because it's amazing. So anyway, he has like a couple of dear moms and dads. Let's read them, shall we? Yeah, okay. It's my podcast. I can do it. again, the role of the mother and father. So important. So important. It says here on the first, the latest tweet, your children will not grow up with your values if they spend more time with daycare attendees, babysitters, grandparents, relatives, friends, etc. The two most important things children need from you are your unconditional love and your time. Here's another one. Dear Dad and Mom, think seriously about this. The word anger from the Hebrew root means without a father. The word fear from the Hebrew root means without a mother. Guys. Dear Dad and Mom, Lot failed as a spouse and father because he was more concerned about raising his cattle than raising his kids.
Wow.
That was good, huh? That's good.
Really good.
Just going to read these. This will be the whole episode. We're just going to read them. Dear Dad and Moms, if you want to raise godly, productive children, be sure your children get the best of you instead of the rest of you. Cool. Come on. Get the best of you instead of the rest of you. Guys, that's speaking to somebody. That is speaking to somebody. So we're talking today, once again. We've got a special guest in-house. Her name is Anna. Say hi, Anna. Ooh.
She had a recital today, a little quick one, and it took like maybe like it was like I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee, and she killed it. She knocked it out of the park.
I saw like, the recording. I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee.
Excuse me, Anna.
Won't my mom?
She can do it. She can
so
do
proud
it.
Of me. I'm bringing home a baby
like
bumblebee with the. You know, the stomping.
Yeah,
that was so
I loved
sweet.
It. And then the tiptoe. Like,
yes.
And
yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Like that. It was so much fun, right? And then afterwards, what did we do? She cried a little bit. I think she was a little bashful. She was just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Like, everybody was watching me during my performance live. And then she was like, And then she went right to sleep. So she was very tired, right? Mm-hmm. And so we went to
Cheeky Filet.
She calls it Cheeky Filet.
Chick-a-filet. Anywho. She also was singing to us Moana yesterday.
Yeah. Do you want to sing?
At the top of her lungs. Sure. To the point where she turned beet red hitting that note. Oh. It was like it winded her. It did. You know what I mean?
Can I get a water? I'll take one too if that's okay. I know that I'm not pregnant, but you know, it's just like it's dry in here.
It's fine. Yeah, it is. It's you know what? Are you cold?
No.
I feel cold in this room.
No, I'm not.
Jonathan would be proud. So anyway, the role of the mother and father, so important to discuss.
Is that what you're talking about today?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because this one tweet really sparked that within me from my father-in-law, Tiff Shuttlesworth, where the anger root of the word from the Hebrew means without a father, anger.
Wow.
Now, the fear root of that is without a mother. Thank you, sweetheart. Come here. Give me a kiss.
Wait. Of what word? Of the word fear in Hebrew?
Fear from the Hebrew root means without a mother.
That's
amazing. What? Isn't that amazing?
That's actually amazing because that's exactly what happened.
Well, I agree with that, Nick. Because if you understand, the root of anger is because there's rebellion.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lack of authority. Yes, exactly. So no wonder we have people who are just angry. Like it's different. You know, you've been on the scene since, you know, 2001. But for me, I've been around. I mean, and I'm not old. You know, I've been around for thank you. But for 34 years.
Right?
Shut up. And, you know, I've seen the anger progression of people, and it's really frightening. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, and it's no wonder why, you know, there's a huge absence of the father in the home. And then these, you know, these violent attacks and what are, they're commonplace.
Literal commonplace. Mm-hmm. It's like because just there's just not the male figure there.
Right.
That can curb that rebellion.
Right.
You know what I mean? That anger.
Yeah.
It needs to be curbed.
I'm Nikki Boy.
Can you what?
Can I see Nikki Boy?
Yeah, Nikki you can boy. See Nikki Boy.
I thought you said naked boy.
Like,
go see Nikki Boy. Make sure you don't step on
anything. He's calling you. He's calling you. Oh, my goodness.
No, that's fascinating.
And then the root word without a mother is fear. So I just thought to myself, that is so impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, now that we see that there's an absence of the father in the home, well, the mother has to pull double duty.
Right.
And there really isn't even like a raising up of your children anymore. It's just they're sent off to whoever. To for daycare. They're sent off to whoever to care for them for the majority of the day.
Right.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
Majorly problematic. Because if you don't have your... And then, you know, people don't even understand the role of a mother because they've been in a... they've had an upbringing where fear was something that was totally okay with.
Right.
It's a fear tactic. To tell your kids that they're going to choke on that and die.
Yeah.
It's a fear tactic to say, if you cross that street without me, you'll get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
So really that, like, that impartation, that's where those things come from.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
The lack of having that person there to kind of, like, instruct you
in
the way
that
you should go.
I mean, but are you saying, like, just take your kids out of daycare altogether? Because there's some women that can't. So what now? What now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
Your children will not grow up with your values if they spend more time with daycare attendees, babysitters, grandparents, relatives, and friends. So if the majority of the time, and you got to, like,
so
you really have to bring it back there.
Splice up a day.
Splice it up however you want. If the majority of the day is spent. Especially in the inception of those developing years, 0 to 5.
Yeah.
I'm talking about outside of school, obviously. Do you know what I mean? But even then, it's like, okay, so let's splice it up. 0 to 5.
Yeah.
if they're away more, if they're more away from you than they are with you, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's going to be problematic. You need to reschedule your schedule in order to allot the time to spend with your children. I think that's a priority.
Yeah, and I think that what are you saying? Okay, a woman goes off. She's a single mom. She goes off to work for 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day is at the daycare or with the child care provider. That clearly isn't going to overtake your 24 hours a day.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So that's not, is that what is in question here? Or is it waking hours?
It's waking active.
So then you would,
well, it's
8 hours
the one-on-one time. You know what
so,
I mean?
Do you know? Yeah. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, splice it up.
Yes. Let's say you're allotted person. 7 hours of sleep.
Okay. 8 hours for children. Okay.
Okay. Okay. 8 hours for children.
Yeah.
8 hours at work. Where are we at? Tally that up. 16 hours.
16 hours. Yeah.
16. And then what's left of a 24-hour day? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 8 hours.
Okay, yeah.
So that would work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So max it out at eight hours. But
I would say be at least intentional about it.
Yeah, because I'm coming from the, yes, okay, like clearly you want to be with your child and give them the best of you, not the rest of you. That is not up for debate. But
right.
What is for the woman who doesn't have the opportunity, doesn't have moms and dads help, doesn't have and has to put her child into daycare in order to provide for her family.
Correct.
So then, you know, so what does that look like when it comes to, you know, raising a child?
Right. It's that.
And so it would be a maxed out at 8 hours.
Yeah.
So from the
if it means there's no cable, we ain't going to have cable. If it means having to, like, you know, make your bills become less. By taking
living
out what's
your
the luxury things just so that you and I could spend time together. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Then that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's just being more intentional about being with your children and spending that quality time with them.
Sure.
And it's because the fact of the matter is not just that they're at the house with you. It's that intentional quality time, because lots of people will just be at their house and their kids are in their room.
Yeah.
And they're playing video games and they're not, like, doing anything.
You're not learning from you. You're not talking to them.
You're not investing in it. You're not, like, showing them the value of a dollar. You're not showing them the value of God's word. So there, you're literally, you come home, you have a dinner. Right? Y'all, maybe you even sit at the dinner table. Probably not.
Most likely not.
And then everybody goes off and does their own thing. That to me is not valuable time. That to me isn't quality time. I think especially though, in the inception of a child, 0 to 5, that is where you really begin to develop their gifts. You develop the boldness and the giftings, I guess.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm no expert, yo, but I'm just saying, like, with these things, like with these tweets and like the insights of people who have done it, like Judy and Tiff Shuttlesworth, where it's like they excelled. I mean, they have standout children, and I can say that personally because I'm married to one, and he's a real deal. He's a good guy. You know what I mean? So it's like, that just didn't happen. And I think most people think that, you know, it's just like, well, that's just the trait. That's just my, this person is just angry. This one of my kids is just, he's just an angry person. He's always had that inside of him. He's just always been angry and she's always been shy. No, you can actually cultivate, you know, the greatness of a child. You can actually bring that out of them. Right, Anna? Yes, you can. And it all begins with, you know, being there.
Yeah.
Always being there. I can vouch for my own mother, too. She was always there.
Always.
Like, we could always count on her. Every time we'd go home, she'd be there.
Yep.
There would be food. So every morning, she would be there. So it's like, you know, she was always there. That does something for you.
Sure.
That does something for your morale. That does something for your
stability.
Confidence.
For sure.
For sure. So, you know, understanding that the father and the mother, they have it has to be, it's a role and it has to be activated. Mm-hmm. You can't, these kids aren't just going to like,
raise themselves.
Right. But most of the time, the people are giving them an iPad and like, hey, fend for yourself. Right. Let mommy and daddy do their thing. And it's not like that. Right. Like, that's not how it works. And another good point that Tiff Shuttlesworth brought. They should have the best of you, not the rest of you. If you're in ministry, if you're in any type of work where it does take up a big portion of your time, the last thing you want to do is come home and be snippy. The last thing you want to do is come home and be irritable. You know, I had a long day at work. It's like, this is what we get. Go get lost. You know what I mean? Go to sleep. It's like, if we're not going to get like a good quality heart to heart time, and I'm not saying it has to be like this every single day, but
no, but it should be, man. My husband gets home and he is always in a good mood, whether he had a bad day or not. The kids can always count on Abel to be like always happy, ready to like wrestle with them. Yeah. It's so phenomenal. So ladies, oh, when going to marry your, if this dude is up and down, left and right, that stuff doesn't stop. Make sure you marry a good quality guy.
I remember like when Camila was like much younger, she would say like, I want to go with Pa. And it would be like right before service. And I'd be like, no, like this is study time. We're going to like be quiet around the house. And he would like rebuke me. He'd be like, no, like let her come in, let her scream and dance. And she's like, I'm not going to like have her like, you know, be a shell of a person because daddy has to minister now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even after she runs to the stage, like the moment he's done preaching, she'll just run to the stage because she just wants to hang out with him. She wants like, you know, now she knows preaching's over. And I get to have my dad all to myself. So it's important for you to like establish that with your children, that they're not a burden, that they're actually something. And I'm telling you, they really are. I don't understand how children can be a burden.
Yeah, I know.
I look at my daughter and I had so much fun with her yesterday and we were all over the place and I got a freaking flat tire.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter because I pulled her tooth out right in that car, pulled over waiting for AAA.
I can't believe she let you do that.
And she totally let me do it. And then she, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Anna was talking about it. She was like very like impressed with Camila. And she was like, Lolly took Camila's tooth out of her head.
She was like freaked out a little.
She was totally freaked out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then she saw the blood a little bit on the thing. And she was like,
oh,
she
loads, back. Loads so of blood.
As she's telling me the story, she was like, and then I saw the video and then I grabbed my face. And then she was like, but the fairy's gonna come and go boop.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny.
So cute. Now Camila keeps saying that the tooth fairy is creepy. And she was like, now thinking about it, you know,
yeah, because no, it's like 100%.
First you just, it's something that you hear and you just like get, you know, just like any like story, the three little bears or whatever.
Sure.
But she's put thought into it and she's like, what kind of person takes teeth from underneath a pillow? And that's why she's like, can't get herself to like think about it.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
The tooth fairy's creepy. Yeah, and she needs help.
So creepy. You remember when our teeth used to fall out and we would do it and we'd get like a dollar or two folded up?
Yeah.
Perfectly neatly.
Yes. Those are the good old
honestly, days. I just think about our childhood, like, especially lately, often with the girls, you know? And I can't remember what else I was thinking about the other day that like made me laugh so hard. It'll come back to me.
I remember every Easter, mom would bring
do
like
the scavenger
a
scavenger hunt,
but like we'll have like a teddy bear with candy
every Easter without fail. It was like scavenger hunt, whether it was raining or not. She would do the scavenger hunt indoors.
We were 16 years old.
Yeah, we were only 17 and a half.
I know the bears, right? The bears. You always got like a stuffed
always had
animal.
A bear. Always.
I love it.
It's just great times. Great times.
Each family is unique, Nicole says. I work, but I work 2 days from home and make the time work. If you feel conflicted about something, ask the Lord for the solution. I totally agree with you, Nicole. It's all going to look different for every person. And, you know, there's lots of people that have to do military and they're gone for a while.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's being intentional and about raising your children and putting in the deposit before they're grown. Yeah. And I can tell you right now, it's a very limited time. It's a very short amount of time for you to curb that. Let me tell you another role of a parent. is disciplining your children. Now, I don't care what the comments have to say, because this really can go all over the place. But I'm going to read you a couple of comments, because lots of people believe in the timeout. So let's see here what Hebrews 12:11 says. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on, however. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So no discipline seems pleasant at the time. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. I know. I don't know why it's like not making sense. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So here's that training aspect that comes into play. Because if the father's role is to curb the rebellion and the mother's role is to deposit faith and a boldness into a child to declare there is no limitation for you. You know what isn't doing that is saying like, you're going to get killed. I want you back here at 7:30. You know, it's Friday and there's drunk drivers out there. That is not instilling in them boldness. No, you know,
kidding.
What I mean?
No kidding.
And we're so easy to put our fears and emotion, like how everything that we've dealt with throughout the years, how easy it is to put that on our children. You know what I mean? Even when it comes to the career path, I talked about it earlier in the week about how, you know, when if they choose to be a pilot, you're like, do you want to die? Do you want to crash and burn? Did you see this? The Boeing 757s that just fell out of the sky and killed 153 people? You know, and so we put on that fear on our children, and it's what's establishing their future.
Right.
And that's why it's so imperative. And I hate to say, like, because you can get freed from that if that's your case, that's your lot in life. You had experience growing up in these things. God can deliver you from that. You know, old things are gone, and behold, you've become a new creation. You have to hold on to that new creation and just drop off what you've been told. That takes effort. But I think lots of people have to also understand that in raising a child, in raising somebody that's going to go the right way, just like the Word of God says, in the way of righteousness and peace, you have to train them to do that by disciplining them. And it has to be something that's consistent. I'm not talking about taking a wire and, you know, whacking them and you know, borderline abuse. What I am saying is a couple of smacks to the bum is does the job. And I can tell you this from personal experience. Camila is now 6 years old. And the last time I gave her pow, we call it pow pow. The last time I gave her pow was probably when she was 4 years old. So it was consistently at 1 and 2, like consistently. I had to lay down the law for her because she was, you know, testing the limits. But after that, all I would have to do was look at her and she would know exactly that we're not about the timeout chair, y'all. We're not about that because the Bible says whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. So you got to be careful to discipline them. I know, speaking of my husband, because he was disciplined time and time again as a youngster, they called it paddling. Always 7 whacks to the bum. Be consistent. You don't smack him in the face. You don't smack him in the hand. You don't do it out of rage. Okay? Control it. It's something that you have to, disciplining them takes discipline in yourself to not just like veer out and just whack them because they're angry and start yelling. That's not the proper way of doing it. There's a way of disciplining them where you sit down with them, which I did. And to be quite honest with you, it was, there was a time or two where I'm like, I don't even want to do this. I actually think what she did was kind of funny. you know, even though it's rebellion and you know, she said that or she whacked somebody. I thought that was kind of funny. I did it anyway, just out of principle.
Right.
Perhaps. Just because I'm like, I have to be consistent with it, because if I'm not, if I think it's funny one day and she does it again when I, to me.
Mixed messages. Yes.
It is.
Mixed signals. Stop.
Totally sending her mixed messages. So I just have to be consistent. So I would just sit there and like whack her diaper 7 times. And be like, listen, this is why you can't do this. You can't do this because the Bible says we have to walk in love and treat one another with respect and, you know, the golden rule. We'd have to, like, walk it through. There's always an explanation. I'm not just whacking you because you ticked me off. That's not, like, an okay thing to do. And I learned that from Judy Shuttlesworth. And she was always very much, you tell them. You tell them why. What it is that they did wrong, and why the word of God tells us that it's wrong. Why this is why there's discipline. And the greatest thing that somebody once told me, and I think it was Judy, but I'm not sure, is the reason why we discipline physically is because you want to instill in that child that there are physical consequences to sin.
Yeah.
There's a physical death that happens when you choose to do it your own way and walk in rebellion. There always is. There's never a time where when you choose to be rebellious that you walk in goodness and it doesn't impact. No, if you're walking in rebellion and you're walking in anger and you're walking in doing things, nobody can tell me what to do. You can't tell me what, no teacher's going to tell me what to do. You respect me, I respect you. I mean, that's the nature of the beast nowadays. And if they walk in that, they will quickly understand that that is a falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That there is repercussion to doing whatever it is that you feel like doing.
Oh, 100%.
You want to go and have sex with whoever? There's a bodily consequence to that. You could have an STD. You will get pregnant. There will be consequences for you. And there's a lack of that understanding because people don't discipline them. They don't take the time. They don't care. They don't care to take the time. Well, no. You get phone calls from teachers, and some of the people that are watching maybe are teachers. They can vouch for me. You call home because of some disciplinary action that you had to take on one of your students, and the parent's giving you a worse time than the kid.
Yeah.
Why did you talk to him like that? Well, maybe you should walk in respect. Maybe you should do that. And it's because there's no curb of that rebellion. There's no discipline. There's no word. There's no godliness, and that is what we can leave for our children. We can leave that godly inheritance. We can have them walk in the way that they should go, and they won't depart from it. But that takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
Instructing them and molding them and speaking to them what the word of God has to say concerning the situation. Make every opportunity about God.
That's right.
Whatever it is, friendships, personalities, love interests, take it to the word 100 times out of 100, and you'll see the benefit. You will reap the benefit, because too many people, especially in Christianity, they compartmentalize certain things in their life. Raising their children is here. The church is here. We go to church because that's the right thing to do. But I'm for everything else, I'm just going to let you know, this is what I think, and this is how we're going to do it, because this is how mom showed me to do it. And we're going to continue to, tell you your limitations. No, you can't do that. Our family doesn't do that. We're not doctors. You just go and be a mechanic. You just go and do this. You just go and do that. And you continue to do that, and you're limiting your child's success. So just don't do it. Just
don't connect the dots too, because kids aren't dumb. It's so funny. Like, you know, like Anna is asking the whys now. Why, mama? Why? And it was like, and sometimes I don't have a response. Sometimes it's just, don't act like that. Why?
Right.
Because God gets sad when you act like that.
Yeah.
He wants you full of joy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, whatever. I don't even know why I said that. A few, maybe days later, you know, she'll be with a buddy and she'll be like, you can't act like that. God only wants you to be full of joy. Like, she'll say those things when you're like, you don't even think, you know,
that it's actually like making
penetrating.
A difference.
Yeah.
Right.
But it does. They're
but
not dummies.
Even when it comes to like Jonathan leaving and there's a sadness about it. So we've learned that we don't take Camila to the airport because she's just a wreck.
Yeah, that's
so that's there's it. Certain aspects that we, in order to curb that reaction, we just don't do that, you know? So we just say our goodbyes in the morning before school.
Right.
Yep. If he's going to be, if it's a weekday. And, you know, she leaves in a good, but for whatever reason, she, because we've said so many goodbyes in an airport, she attributes sad with airports.
Oh yeah.
Or the vehicle. So we take it out of that situation. We take her out of that scenario and into this, and we bring life to it. I mean, even these small little adjustments, really. And but I've had to tell her time and time again. And one of the funniest things she ever told Jonathan, I mean, there has been a lot, but she was probably like 2 or 3. And I had gone off for grocery shopping. I had gone off to do grocery shopping. And she wanted to go upstairs. But upstairs is kind of dark. And Jonathan was downstairs just hanging out in the living room.
Yeah.
So she said, Pa, can you come upstairs with me? And he's like, you go to your room. Like, everything is, you got a TV in there. You got your toys in there. And she said, but I'm alone. And I don't like to be alone. And then he said, oh, you know, obviously, like, yeah, okay, I'll be right up. Hold on 1 second, you know? And then she said, I know that God is with me everywhere I go, but I can't see him. You know, so it's like she even knew how to respond to that situation. Like, I know you think this is silly of me to ask you to come upstairs because God is with me, but I don't see him.
Yeah.
So she's even like walking it out with her in her own little mind. Like, you guys tell me that, like, Jesus is with me, but I don't see him where he at. This.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's just like instructing them and putting in those little deposits to let her know, like, you're not walking alone. You'll never be alone. He never leaves you and he never forsakes you. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't get it, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Just so that it never leaves you. And just the other day, and we showed the clip here about Camila just imparting that to my sister Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, like, listen, we're going to go off to Arizona for vacation soon. But you don't worry about it because God is going to be with you and he's going to be on your side.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and she was just like going after it, like declaring the word of God over my sister concerning that issue in life.
Yeah.
So that's 6 years old. If I continue on putting that deposit in a person. Ooh, yes. Yes. I love it. If I continue to put the deposit in Camila, how much more is she going to benefit that?
Oh, 100%.
From that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then other kiddos around Camila will benefit.
Well,
Camila loves to just lay hands on Anna and say, Anna, have you made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I was like, what? Anna just turned 3. And Camila went to town. She was like, you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah. So
Anna starts in on her
crying.
Shaking.
And she's like, be filled. And she's like, no. She's like, you know, hysterical. But Camila, she don't play. She's like, you need this power. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have you ever taken the time to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Did you just tell me no? We are going to take care of this.
I actually have a video. And the only reason why I haven't even shared it is because the dolls are all, like, naked.
Yeah.
And I want to say that maybe one of the girls is, too. I can't remember what it was. But she, Camila goes up to Isaac.
Oh no.
You've got to see.
When was this? Recently, obviously.
Yeah, like maybe like a month ago. And she goes up to Isaac and Isaac's just crawling, doing his thing, and Camila was like, "Isaac, have you received the Holy Spirit like as was promised in Acts?" And Isaac just looks at her and she's like, "Come here, Isaac. Be filled." And Isaac is doing everything to get away from her.
She's like, "Don't resist it, devil. Get back here."
And Isaac's like, this is so intense. I got to pull it up. I can edit it too so you
can
hear it.
That would be great.
It
that would so be wonderful. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. It's another one. Proverbs 22:6. Start off a child on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not depart from it.
I can always spot a kid that's not spanked.
Oh, it's evident.
It's literally as clear as crystal.
Totally.
I can always tell. And sometimes if I'm bold, I'll say, do you spank?
And you're like, oh, no. And I'm like, yeah,
mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure that my read was right.
Right. Discipline your children and they will give you peace. They will bring you delights. The delights you desire. Gosh, why am I having a hard time? Discipline your children and they will give you peace. I can say that. I can vouch for that. I can totally vouch for that. 100%. I have not had heartache. I've not had like a pulling out moment with Camila, but I was very adamant about disciplining the first 3 years of her life.
Yeah. And it's exhausting. It can be, especially that. That one girl at churches, 2 years. Oh, churches.
And then that's great. That's funny. I'd have to discipline them. And we're literally at church round the clock.
Or in public. Or whatever it may be, in a restaurant. You know, I know people, I know parents who just don't even go to restaurants with kids. Because they're like, no, they don't know how to act. So we haven't been to a restaurant in and a half years.
No, sir.
So it's like you can't also stop your life.
Right.
Like if you want your kid to be a burden, then start making decisions like that where we can't go this to this place. We can't
totally.
Go
there.
You know, your kids aren't dumb. Like,
right.
They'll understand. They're flexible. They're moldable.
And they need to be trained.
They need to be
and
trained.
And training is something that happens every day.
Yeah.
That's why if I just left Camila just to just like fend for herself, even after 3 years of disciplining her, there's still going to be that like rebellious curve mm-hmm. in her mm-hmm. that has to be. So you just have to train them.
Yeah.
And that's where most people don't want to put in the effort.
Yeah. How did Camila get so good on an airplane? You put her on an airplane.
I put her on the airplane and I say, you will. You know what? One of the greatest difficulties in disciplining her and in getting her to stick with it was sitting in a service. Because I always was thought, or lots of people, especially ministers' wives, always said, let her run in the back. It's fine. She doesn't need to be here. You guys are in service all the time. Just let her run out to the back and you'll be fine. Like, we have a room designated. And I never bought into that. Because I was like, listen, I've seen your kids. I've seen the effect of people just running rampant, pastors' kids, just running around during service because they're always there, and they want them to experience a sense of normalcy as well. So, you know, other kids, they're just not at church like we are all the time, so we just want to make that flexible for them. So we just reserve a room in the back, and if they want to color and play video games or listen to their iPads or their whatever – whatever they're listening to, their music. We just allow for them to do that because we know it's just a great burden to be a pastor's kid. And I thought to myself, you have no idea what a blessing it is. Is she okay? I love those pips. Do they smell? So, coming from a place where really church wasn't something that was like a strict priority. It was something that was emphasized, but it wasn't something that was like, you have to be here because we're the pastors. I recognize the blessing it is to, be in church and participate in services. So I never bought into that. I would look at them like, are you kidding me? Like, you're really going to, like, allow for your children not to be active in this, in your ministry because you feel bad that they're in church all the time? That's a blessing. Like, being in church all the time is a blessing. So, when she started walking, goodness me, it was, like, trying to keep her, and it was just me in one pew trying to keep her in that pew. And I remember one time just getting so frustrated and thinking, I'm just going to sit in the foyer this entire service until service is done. And then she can play, she can do whatever. She is just one, she is just two. And I always like would try to convince myself like she's a kid, which is true. She's definitely a kid. But at the same time, if I want for her to function in a service and have her pay attention, I have to do something and be intentional about keeping her in service.
Sure.
And so I just did that. I went outside. I gave her a few whacks because at this point, what she would do was she would start screaming at the top of her lungs, like that, because she knew I would cover her mouth and we'd run out of the service. Yeah. So she did that because she's smart twice. where it was like, oh, okay, so now she knows that this is what happens if I scream, mom's going to take me out into the foyer and I can play and do whatever I want to do. And so I said, we ain't doing that. And the moment you stop crying, we're going back in there. And you will not play. We're going to go in there, play, stay in the service.
Right.
And then we're good.
Yeah, you taught me that. That's how we got her. Because it would be much easier to just let him roam free in the lobby. And then all of a sudden they already have their reward. Now they know that they're going
to
get
that's
their
the reward.
Way.
If I cry during service, I'm going to be brought out to the sanctuary
right.
or to the foyer
right.
and I
I'm
can
play
and have a
and
treat.
And I can run and do whatever the heck I want.
Yeah, that's what I want anyway. So I'm just going to start hysterically crying.
Right.
So that's where that was like, no, no. And it was like, it was the Holy Ghost. Cause it was like, I wouldn't have been that smart to figure that out. Like, to be quite honest with you, I would have just said like, she is a kid and this and the other, but like we had all day to play.
Yeah.
You have all day to play. Right. We have service from 7 to 10. And within these days, within these hours, you will be respectful. You will sit. I'm going to give you a piece of paper and a crayon and you can color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not negating. And I think a lot of times, too, you can start, you know, you can start disciplining a child to where that you take away the fun. Out of childhood mm-hmm. where it's like, don't yell, don't be happy. Yeah. Don't, you know what I mean?
It's
and
so
it's like,
true.
You need to be led of the spirit to yeah. walk in that, like that it, and it is a thin line, knowing what rebellion looks like, knowing that, okay, she definitely did. I remember that very
and
first
not
time.
Stifling their joy. Yeah.
It's, or stifling their childhood.
Yeah.
It's their children. Let them be children. Let them be wild. They should be wild. They should be running around like, you know, getting scrapes and bumps and bruises. And getting into the stuff outside.
Fact.
They should be doing that. That's what that's how God created for them to be.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Let them play. Let them be rambunctious and wild. But when it crosses over to you, I told you to be here and you did it. Well, I'm not going to. Now, you know, they're crossing. There's like an intentional like I'm disobeying you. That's
right.
What rebellion is like
sure.
understanding. And that's where at Camila, the very first pal that I gave Camila between you and I, Pastor Jessica, you had good insight about this yesterday. I was reading your comments. I didn't get a chance to read them while we were doing this, but you were like right on point. The earlier you teach them, the easier it is. Fact. That's why 0 to 5 is imperative. Because if you don't do it within this 0 to 5 time frame, you'll understand that it's going to take you into the teen years. But if you impart it in such a way from 0 to 5 that they'll get it, they'll grasp it. They're so smart. Kids are so incredibly smart. So anyway, I remember the very first time I gave Pow Pow to Camila. Take that out of your mouth. The very first time I gave Pow Pow to Camila, she was 9 months. She was 9 months. She was sitting up. She was sitting up like this. And she crawled over to a socket, like a wall socket, you know, electric
that's
socket.
That's how Isaac got his first Pow.
Yeah. And I said, Camila, I don't want you touching that. Do you understand? And she looked at me. And of course, she's not talking at that point. so she looked at me. And then she would put her finger like to go and touch the socket again. And I'd say, Camila, I'm going to tell you a second time. And this is the only time I'm going to tell you, do not touch that socket or you are going to get Pow.
Yeah.
And you know what she did? Touched the socket
and then
turned
looked
around and
at
looked
you.
At me and said, like, what did you say, Mom? And I grabbed her and I whacked her. And at that point, I didn't do the 7 whacks. I just did the like this. And like, I told you not to do it. But I had like a serious enough face that it like shook her up. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But
no,
it was very interesting. But it was interesting that she knew to cry. Because honestly, it was a whack. It was like you barely felt it.
Yeah.
I promise you. That's why I was like. There's something to this discipline thing that really does work. It's just the concept of I told you and you understood me.
Yeah,
and
they
understand you.
Sure.
Even if they can't talk, they understand. And they know they fall back on that little bit of rebellion. That's why we got to give you Pow every now and again, Anna. Yeah. And I would.
Do you like getting Pow, Anna?
No,
of course not.
Nobody likes it, right?
But I would remember, I'd say, let's take a trip to the bathroom. And this is before she needed to use the bathroom, right? Because it was like, you have diapers. So she would understand. She would correlate going to the trips to the bathroom where I was going to
pow-pow,
or we are going to talk about it. Yeah. We are going, you are going to get disciplined one way or the other. And I remember every time that I would go and discipline her, and I would do this, right? Jonathan would be, you know, at the table with a pastor or whatever, and she would be atribula. What's that word mean?
Like, just broken.
Just like
having a conniption.
A meltdown. She would just be in meltdown mode, hysterically crying, and you know, just whatever, ornery, I guess, just whatever. And so I'd say, I'm going to tell you again, you know, you can't yell or whatever. You can't behave that way. Because she'd try to get up out of the chair and try to like run around the restaurant. And I said, no, you're going to sit there. And if I tell you again, we're going to the bathroom. And I kid you not, 10 times out of 10, I would go into that bathroom and give her a pow or discipline her and say, that is not how we behave. We are not going to continue that. And it was like a readjustment. That made her happy.
She would always come out smiling.
Totally. To the point where I'm like, John's like, you're definitely doing it right. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is that you're doing, but you're doing it right. Because every time you discipline her, she comes out happy.
Yeah.
Like, it like you whacked out the imbalance or whatever it was, or like the discrepancy. And then you just corrected it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's exactly what happens. It's like that was just like a physical thing. It was like a physical sign of what's happening internally and spiritually. Sure. You know what I mean? It's like a correction and it brings joy. So don't ever feel bad about it. I mean, again, you do it with love. You never do it out of anger. If you have to wait a day or two to discipline so that you're not doing it out of anger, I suggest you do that. Never discipline your children just, you know, smacking them across the face. That's not what I'm talking about. That's so disgusting. I'm saying, like, there's a way of doing it where you could show them in love why this action is something that our family and the Word of God does not stand for.
Yeah,
and when you do it, you will see the benefit of it 100 times out of 100.
Amen.
And and like I said, time and time again, don't treat them like silly kids. Oh, look at the little girl. Look at her. She's a my little baby. I mean, every now and again, I'll talk to Camila like that. I like, you're my baby. You're my little. But I most of the time, especially when she was younger, I would just speak to her like an adult.
Yeah.
I would say, you know what? There's greatness on you.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so smart. You know
they
that?
Understand.
And they totally get it. They totally get it. So, ladies and gents, we're talking about the role of the father and mother. It's so important for you to understand your role and walk in it. The Word of God has so much to say about raising up your child in the way they should go, about bringing them up, always having the Word wherever they're when they're waking up, when they're coming, when they're going, at dinner time. I mean, the Word of God is so imperative for you to have so that you can find that way of parenting that's really successful and is going to be beneficial. You have to be intentional about it, because if you aren't, time goes by like this. And I can tell you what, it's just, everybody's busy too. Everybody's got soccer. Everybody's got basketball. Somebody's got ballet. Somebody's got this. So if you aren't intentionally sitting down, one of the things that I mentioned this yesterday, one of the things that Gloria Copeland had said while she was preaching is if she was to do it again in raising her children, she would instill the reason why they serve God. She would have more of a conversation with her children and let them know, this is why mommy and daddy believe this. This is why we cling on to the Word of God. Not just simply, this is the way we do it, that's the way you have to do it too. But like reasoning with them, why is that? This is why, because this is common sense. This is why we walk this out, because we've seen the blessing of God. And instead of just, you know, treating them like, oh, you know what, they're just always in church and they don't have time. There's nothing greater than them being in the house of God. Just always remember that too, okay? Don't ever feel bad for having them go to church. It is wonderful to be at church. Take it from me, somebody who never had that growing up. I would much rather rather have that than whatever else is out there for, you know, the person to participate in. And it's crazy out there, mommies and daddies, if you didn't know. So start being active in your children's life. And I can tell you right now, you will benefit from it, I mean, well into your old age, because there's just nothing like that kind of relationship. I know for a fact, if Jesus doesn't come back and I'm old and gray, Camila will be right there with me. This child will be right there with me, because we've created a bond, and it's so incredibly beautiful. And I'm not trying to be a sap here or anything like that, but it's something like, she's not going to go into her teenage years calling me the B word. That's hilarious. That's not going to happen. I know that. I already know that. We already know. She already knows respect. She already knows the value of being godly. So those things I'm not planning on. Lots of people will tell you, well, you know, she's like that now, but wait till she starts hitting puberty. Everything changes. Nonsense. You quit that. Speaking that over your children. Really spend time with them. It's imperative for you to do so. I love you. Tomorrow we're going to be back here at 3:30. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, do it now. It's on Stitcher. It's on podcast. And if you haven't registered for Radiance, what the heck are you waiting for? I've been saying this since October of last year. Register, come out. It's going to be a really great time. And for those of you that are wanting to do something special for your children this Easter, like my mother did with little teddy bears and candy, give them a book. Give them a Mighty Series book, themightyseries.com. The book David and Goliath and Esther are available, along with David and Goliath coloring book. So put those in the basket with a couple of treats, and it's just a home run. I was just going to do like a basketball thing, like, but that's not a home run. Basketball is its own different sport. So anyway, I love you guys. Thanks for watching. Those of you that are on Facebook, love you. Everybody on YouTube, thank you, Lola, for your comments. We will see you tomorrow. Don't forget to spend time with your kids, yo. Be intentional. Love you. Bye.